Welcome back to the LSCC podcast. If you have any questions about what we do at LSCC, how we do it, or why, please let us know by heading to lscc.tv and clicking Get in Contact. And now let's jump into our new series, Change or Die. Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. This morning, things are going to look a little different as we begin a new series called Change or Die. This series came from a lot of study and prayer and discussion, so we thought it would be fitting to begin the series with a discussion. So, Change or Die, this series, this idea, where did it come from?
I think there's a lot of, as you said, a lot of discussion, a lot of prayer, a lot of study, and most recently with this series that we just finished, A Kingdom Upside Down, where we looked at the righteousness that God desires from us, the righteousness that resembles Christ. One of the big elements that we as Christians are to do is to embody Christ and to chase after him and his mission. And so, you know, the reality is if there isn't an element of change within us, the transformation that comes from the power of Christ, the result of sin is death.
And I think another thing with this COVID outbreak, it's really forced us to look at the things that we do individually in our ministry and as a church as a whole, and how do we adapt to overcome this situation to meet the needs of people in our congregation and to continue doing what we do to the best of our ability. Right. And the series isn't necessarily related to the COVID outbreak and then finding a new normal because of COVID, but it really just sparked the thought of what of the church as a whole?
Yeah, and I think, and maybe this is semantics, but I think that what COVID did is fanned the flame of a spark that was already there. Mm-hmm. Because
exactly,
we had been working into this for some time now. And, you know, series development for us, sometimes it comes immediately and sometimes it takes a long time for it to come together. In this particular case, this has been many different facets in the making. Justin, you mentioned our last series, but COVID is a piece of that, and there's some other things too. A month or so ago, I was watching Elevation Church in North Carolina, and Stephen Furtick took on this topic of being confronted consistently with people talking about getting back to normal. They can't wait to get back to normal, and Furtick sort of turned that on its head, turned it on its head to say, we need to stop focusing on getting back to normal because that's not going to happen. And we need to turn the page and start thinking about looking forward to normal and what that might be and the new opportunities we might have. There was some music that they put out and some other places put out that sort of fanned that flame again. We watched together. We distributed among us some video clips. Simon Sinek's one that we've talked about from stage. He's talked about sort of, and he's a change agent, asks a lot of questions. And then ultimately, what we wanted to study was the book of Exodus. So at the foundation of this, it's biblically based. We see that with Moses, God prompting Moses, and Moses leading the Israelites in some pretty significant and massive change from Egypt to the Promised Land. And one of the things that we see throughout that book is the Egyptians, or the Israelites, when they confront difficulty, they reference wanting to be back in Egypt. And we see this over and over and over again. And so what we'll be doing is studying through the book of Exodus with this sort of theme of change or die, because that's what the Israelites were confronted with. And in many ways, that's a snapshot of where we are as a church and as you know, the larger formation of Christian brothers and sisters.
So we talked about the Exodus, and when faced with uncertain times, the Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt, where they're facing slavery and, you know, starving and being overworked and all these things. They wanted to go back there because it was familiar. So what type of things are we looking at speaking as a church as a whole, or even LSCC, what are those, what is Egypt for us? The things that we're looking back on, the things that we're comfortable on and tempted to return to.
I think church has fallen into a mode of complacency, and not just our church, but church in general. This idea of the glory days being behind us, and you know, it's kind of like driving a car forward by looking at the rearview mirror. You can't see where you're going by looking at where you came from. You need to look out the windshield. That's why it's there, and that's why it's larger.
And that's where that I can't wait to get back to normal keeps coming from. We've even in quarantine, I've gotten emails or text messages or even people stopping the church. And it's a consistent thing that I've seen in social media, and then, man, I can't wait to get back to normal. I can't wait to get back to normal. And that presents itself like, what does that even mean?
And one thing, you mentioned the Simon Sinek video. He was speaking in a business sense, but one thing he said was, that is not normal anymore. I think he spoke of someone like, if you're someone who makes your living giving public speeches and you expect to go back and give public speeches, you're in for a world of hurt. So we need to adapt to overcome. And yes, that means COVID related now, but also generically, we need to be further looking ahead. Because he said, what's happening now is no different than what's always happened. The only difference is this is more sudden.
Right. Well, what we're doing essentially is using this COVID quarantine thing and examining sort of where have we been and where are we and where is God calling us. So it's an examination of sorts, so that like Exodus, we're moving from one thing to the next, and not doing it in the sense where we feel compelled to constantly want to go back to Egypt. And that's a challenging thing. Change or Die, the title of this series actually comes from an article that's about 20 years old and then turned into a book. They did a medical study on people that had some heart-related problems. Surgeries were performed and they were more or less fixed. And like all of us, when we go to doctors, we get orders afterwards. You should do this and you're not supposed to do that. And in this case study, they had health and, dietary and exercise things that they needed to do after they were medically fixed. You need to eat these kinds of things and you need to do these kinds of exercise. And if you do those things, you're probably not going to end back up here or worse, die. And this case study showed that 9 out of 10 people, so 90% of people, even when confronted with death and some relatively minor lifestyle changes, still chose to do what got them there in the first place. And that is what, in sort of culmination with all of these other things, sparked Change or Die, our series title for this. And because we want to examine and push back against being one of those 9 out of 10, and instead being the 1 out of 10. That's willing to make the changes, willing to examine, willing to move forward, willing to change.
And I think one of these things, one thing that we've discussed that's come up time and time again is, what is modern church now? One of the things we've said was church has become inward focused and ultimately is for church people. So we talk about church growth, and really what we see is people migrating from a small church to a larger church. So we see mega churches growing, thinking that the church is growing. Really, it's just shifting.
Yeah, the community I came from was about 10,000 people strong. They had 18 churches within city limits. And it was like a 5-year cycle for churches. You know, church number one would be the hot church for the first 5 years, and then church number two would do something exciting. So church people from church number one would hop over and migrate to church number two because that was new, it was exciting. And the reality is most churches function as a church for churched people.
So where does that leave the rest of the community?
Doesn't leave them experiencing the love of Christ, that's for sure.
Well, for sure, the focus can easily get misplaced.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because transferring growth versus actual new growth, new disciples, new believers in Christ. And we can get so lost and fixed on where we are and how do we grow, and we get to this point where we're not sort of looking around us and engaging with people where they're at.
So we begin to try to maintain what we have instead of continue to seek new growth, new life, which the only way to do that is to change, because our culture, our community is constantly changing, and they need reached in a language that is relevant to them, which is, interestingly enough, the entire Bible is relevant.
We know these things to be inherently true. Now, certainly we all have our individual talents, but before we were ever really good at something, we had to work hard at it and refine. And that process is one that can be difficult, can be painful, can be time consuming, fill in the blank, fill in the blank, fill in the blank. Like it's a process of working out. And, you know, that's no different individually as it is corporately as a church or any other business. If you're a business leader that's a part of this church or whatever, to progress means that you have to put something in and work hard. And that's not always an easy thing. There's a step forward and a step back, and there's pain points. And it's important that we just call those things out, address them, and move forward the best that we can.
So you're saying change is going to be painful and messy and dirty?
Yeah, but isn't that what we see in the Bible?
Yeah.
Constantly. I mean, I don't think that we see complacency in the Bible, because if that were the case, it would have started and ended in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Adam and Eve would have done what it was that they were supposed to do, and a pretty short Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we get. And then we see throughout the rest of the Bible, constant change, constant moving forward. If we expect anything less than that, then I mean, we're being naive. We see that in Jesus's life and ministry. And we should expect that, you know, it's been said before that we should expect that virtually everything that we do here or in our lives for that matter, think about this COVID thing, like everything is on wheels, everything. And if we're not prepared for that, then man, we can just really become locked down and not know what to do and where to go. And for sure, over this quarantine time, some people have been in that very place, not knowing which way to turn, which way to go.
Kind of reminds me of why I like our mission statement so much, the love God, love others, and be the church, because they're all active.
Mm.
They're all statements of showing what it is to be alive. Like, we're not sleeping, you know. We've awakened to chase after Christ. I mean, that's the life that we get from Jesus. And it inspires an active lifestyle, not a thanks Jesus for the gift, I'm going to go home and sit on my couch. To be a disciple is to chase after and embody the teacher. And what was Jesus doing? He was going places, meeting people where they were, impacting the communities he was in.
We see the disciples do that after Jesus.
Right.
Now, can I pose a question? Are we seeing that now in the church?
The reality is we're in a 90% unchurched community with a lot of churches in it. So I think if we're being honest, and I don't mean this to be mean or to say that churches haven't had the desire to move, but why are we 90% unchurched?
There's this idea, it keeps coming to mind. I think you've heard me talk about it before, called slacktivism. I think of several years ago, there's terrorist attacks in different countries. The one in France comes to mind. And so many people would change their Facebook profile to have the flag over their profile picture, like an overlay, and because they support France. Like, I mean, awareness for the situation, great. Your support, great. But what is it actually accomplishing? And take other similar things. People will say, I support this with their voices, but their actions, there's nothing to follow. And I think as the church, speaking LSCC and generically, that we fall into that same realm. We'll identify as Christian, we'll identify as being Christ followers. But when it takes time to take action,
There's like a collective backing off. And I'll go to a Bible study, but I don't want to invite people over to my house. I'll go to sit in the service on a Sunday morning, but I'm not going to really talk to anybody about Jesus, let alone in the workplace.
Well, I'm not a pastor after all, so I can't do that.
Yeah, right? But I think that carries from, I mean, using the social media example, our LSCC page is a perfect example of what a Sunday morning has been like here in the past. Like, it's like the same six people in the sanctuary raise their hand and say amen, and it's like the same six people click the heart or the like button or the share button when there is a massive amount of people that are participating in it or watching it, but very few that are taking a real active participation in it. You don't have to be an evangelist. You know, we all know that one guy that at the gas station could be pumping gas next to you, and somehow within a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, he's told you his entire life story and why you need Jesus right now. We don't all have to be that. Sometimes it's as simple as sharing something or liking something in this age of social media. That is a step forward in taking an active participation that carries forward in here on a Sunday morning. Whether that's raising your hand during a song when you're moved, or you shout an amen when somebody gets feisty up on stage, or you have a conversation with somebody out in the lobby, or you take them to lunch afterwards. There are so many ways that we can be active that isn't just the checkbox, well, I went to Bible study, or I this, or I that.
So then if we can see the issues, like, getting stuck in the church mentality and the slacktivist type, how do we break out of those? How do we get rid of the church expectations and become more Christ-like?
Well, I think one of the things that we need to define is what it is to be a disciple. I think in the church world, I think there's this idea that to be a disciple means you're a learned, educated, studied up theologian. When in reality, we don't have biblical examples of that. The disciples that followed Jesus were with him for like 3 years, right? That doesn't give you a doctorate in theology. They were learning at his hands and feet. A disciple is really, in reality, nothing more than someone who is following a teacher. And we're to create disciples of Jesus, which doesn't... It doesn't mean that we're to give Bible studies that make you a professional theologian. It means that we're supposed to introduce people to Jesus. And it's as simple as sharing your story.
Yeah, I think we have the tendency to overcomplicate things. Like, I need to be this learned evangelist and this charismatic speaker. But if you look at Jesus, like, the only time he really quoted scripture and got into theology was because he was calling out religious people because they were way off base.
Right.
When he went to the people in his community, like in his backyard, like that was his mission field. He hung out with people who weren't religious at all. And what he did was spent time with them, invested time and effort into them. It was that simple. So when you put it in those terms, to be like Christ-like and reaching people, doesn't look any different than, hey, want to come over for lunch?
Right.
Well, like, Paul says, I've tried to be all things to all people so that I might save some. And I think that is where we can collectively sort of turn the page, just speaking for LSCC, and start to make things practical with this change or die concept. where are some very specific practical areas that, given this time for examination, given this time of prayer and study and discussion, what are some things that we believe God is calling us forward to, specifically in that getting from passive to active? Mm-hmm. And some things are easy and some things are hard, and some things are going to be easy for some and hard for others, but we have to shift from sort of the passive, what is the church doing for me, being a spectator. It's thrown around a lot about the consumerist nature of church.
I think my grandma laid it out perfectly. She told me at one point in time that Christians need to take off the bibs and put on the aprons.
Sure, sure. And there's no amount of, like, you don't have to have certain boxes checked to start doing that.
Right.
You know, some people are going to be better at other things, and we have to rally around those things. I think about the talents that we have on this staff. I think about the talents that we have in this congregation that, man, I don't know if we're fanning those flames or if we're stifling those things. And there's probably stuff that we don't even know about that people are great at. And how do we latch on to those things and carve new paths in this community? Again, Walter, you mentioned a little bit ago, 90% or nearly 90% without a church home, unchurched. And there are churches that are doing some great things in this community. I think of North Iron, I think of Silver Creek and others. Like, man, they're doing things for Jesus. And I know that we have in the past, but now is about defining where we're moving forward and how can we change? How can we look at what we've done and instead of looking back, we're looking forward to normal. And what can those things be? What stands out that we can just latch onto and drive?
You know, I think one thing that comes to mind right away is, I'm not sure if we've said this yet, but the phrase has been thrown around, backyard missions. Our mission field, right in our backyard. And Corey, you've mentioned a little bit to me in the past about your background in missions. Can you give me some insight into how you would approach people in different cultures and how that changed?
Yeah, I mean, when you're training to go to Ethiopia or China, two places that I've spent pretty extensive time in, you got cultural training that's a part of that. If there was an expectation on me or any team members that we were going to come from Marquette, Michigan or Indiana, where I'm from, and all of a sudden plop into Ethiopia or China and just do whatever version of church and boom and evangelism and stuff like that, you're not going anywhere and you're going fast. And so you have to adapt to your new surroundings. In some cases, that was a mud hut in the middle that looks like you're looking at a National Geographic. In China, that was being, and at least in Beijing, surrounded by more people than I've ever seen in my life. And then as I got out into the countryside, it obviously looked like I got into a time machine again, like in Ethiopia. But the point is recognizing the culture that you're in and meeting people where they are. And I think Christians and church, we have a tendency to say, come here, come to us, come to what we're offering. And most times that seems to be focused around gaining knowledge and less about the doing, the activity part. And I think that needs to be our general mindset change.
Going into the community, making an impact here, and reaching people where they're at, not expecting them to come to where we are at.
So it makes me think of our mission statement to love God, love others, be the church. It's not phrased love God, love others, make church happen. Like, mm-hmm. We are to be actively the church in our community.
Right.
And you know, for me to be Christ-like and to be the church is to start investing in people.
Yeah.
And not starting another Bible study.
Well, and in some cases it might look like that, but in a lot of cases, it's definitely not. It's going to be interacting with your coworkers. It's going to be interacting with your neighbors. In some cases, maybe it's LSCC rallying around something that might already be pretty dominant in our community. Mountain biking's one of them. Maybe there's a way that we can connect. I don't know what that looks like or how, but that's something that thrives in this community, and maybe that's something that has a future for us. But the point is again, you're focused on what's going on around you and going to it and putting what it is that you're reading and praying about and learning about on a Sunday or, you know, and putting it into practice.
I think another thing that's worth mentioning is, while we're not going to latch ourselves onto what was normal and to maintain that specifically, I think it's also important to look back to inform the decisions we make moving forward. Yes, the things that were done that didn't work or the things that will no longer work, but also, for example, back in, was it 77 when this church began, we saw some of our founding members, Nancy Stoll and the Rays, they started this church in a basement or a living room, and they really wanted to provide something to this community that they really needed, and that was building up the faith of young children. And they used tools that at the time were not normal around here. They used contemporary music, and they found that it was successful. And this church saw growth, and not just church transplants like we've talked about, but like actual growth. So I think it's really important to honor the heart and the drive behind that, and to use it, things like that, to inform our decisions moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where this whole topic of change can get sticky, because inherently change, and you know, we perk up, and some of us, I've moved 39 times, so change, I just sort of shrug at. But then there's other people that maybe they're still in the same house they grew up in because their parents passed away and it got passed on to them. We probably have people like that in our congregation. So when you say change, they perk up and they're like, ooh, because for whatever reason, we inherently think change, that must mean that something was wrong or bad. And that's not the case. What we're talking about here is sort of development and progress and building off mm-hmm. of what you just said. If children and young families and contemporary music were pieces in LSCC's past that built the body, then those are certainly elements that we want to continue to pursue all the while. Continuing to look outward and finding what the new versions of what that is today in mm-hmm. 2020, like that was back in the late 70s and in the 80s.
And the reality of the change that we're looking at, it's not changing the foundational beliefs or you know, messing with scripture at all, but it's changing the way we communicate to our community. They're not hearing us. They're not hearing the church because, I mean...
Well, think about exactly where we are. We are in a 90% unchurched community like we've talked about, but we're also in a college town that's largely very liberal. Mm-hmm. So if we can't necessarily go to people with our churchy church metaphors and Christian-y
like
things...
Like you might in the Bible Belt or something.
Oh, yeah, you can get away with it there, I'm sure. But here, that's going to put up a wall. A lot of people are just done with this Christian stuff, and on a lot of levels, I don't blame them.
Well, the reality is they see hypocritical individuals.
But if we change the way that we speak with people, we can put away the expectations of the church and being church-like, and instead become Christ-like, meet them where they are. Now, don't think that I'm saying we change our morals or the core truth of Christ. That's unwavering. That doesn't change. But anything outside of that in our convictions and our preferences, why not just meet them where they are? Let them have questions. And you know, maybe admit we've questioned things a time or two. Then we can relate. They can take down those walls. And then they start to see the love of Christ that's in us and the love that we show for them instead of these Christian church expectations that everyone's so used to.
And I think in where that really sort of wrapping things up here, what does that mean for how we move forward? We've talked before about the learning center and how that meets a need in the community, mm-hmm. not just because there's childcare that's needed and maybe not right down there during the quarantine, but you know, that will become a regular need again. But what it's doing is planting a seed with that family. Surely we're going to have some of our church family here at the Learning Center, but we're going to have kids and families that are attending from the surrounding community that are probably part of that 90%. And if they become acclimated here and when life inevitably hits them, now we've planted a seed and hopefully watered it a little bit, and we have an opportunity to minister them where they are in life at that point. So the Learning Center can help provide that. We talked about Celebrate Recovery, and you know, the whole thing with Celebrate Recovery is meeting people where they're at and not making sure that they're clean and all put together before, you know, they can come to Christ. That is absolutely one of acceptance and saying, we don't care what your hurts, habits, and hangups are. We want to be with you and help and meanwhile, we're all moving forward together.
I think one of the big changes that's going to take place is church is going to go from being pretty and comfortable to being messy. And I honestly don't know why we would expect it any other way. I mean, Jesus even told us that the pathway to heaven is difficult. We're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to struggle, and we're going to meet trials and frustrations. But ultimately, that's the road that leads to victory. So shouldn't we expect being the church, being active, to be difficult and messy? And
I think where, you know, sort of where we land here as, you know, we begin the more normal part of this format, having a sermon again next week, is what we'll start to see probably some in this virtual format, but certainly once we start meeting together once again, is a really strong focus on activity. And there's probably going to be some pretty bold asks. Not, hey, would you mind? Or, hey, could you think about, I think that this one thing we've learned through this is, I believe that you've been called for, you know, if we know somebody that's got a certain talent or something, and being bold in that ask, being bold in telling people, hey, just sitting here on a Sunday isn't enough. You need to engage, and here are ways that you can engage. Shifting that mindset from passive to active.
Okay, and if I could be bold and put you on the spot, if we were to look at our congregation right now and say, I need you to do this, what would we say?
I think while we're still on this quarantine in this virtual environment, one of the easiest things that people can do right now is be invitational. I mean, think about how easy it is to click and invite somebody to the church that we have, at least right now. You know, we're not meeting together, but I feel like we've been doing a lot of studying, a lot of production with video and sermons and stuff like that. And it's a way to sort of get people in. And that's as simple as clicking a button. Checking in on our friends and neighbors. It's very likely that as we come out of this on May 28th, provided it's not extended further, that this is going to be a phased reintroduction and in our community, but in our churches as well. It's not going to look like it did before. We're going to have to make changes on site here to help protect people and follow the guidelines. Mm-hmm. And one of those things might be gathering together in small groups before we're together again in a large group.
Right.
That's something that people can begin planning right now. You know, maybe people that are demographically related or geographically related or part of your circle of influence and friend group, start planning those things right now, that once things release, if you're not already doing those things, gather a couple of your friends and families and have what would have amounted in the first century church as a small little house church. Mm-hmm. And so we could come back together as a large group.
And I think if I were to give, make an ask, it would be for people to look at what it means to be Christ-like and not default to what it's like to be church-like.
Yeah, I mean, and just came out of that series, Kingdom Upside Down, which Jesus himself laid that out. You're being religious, but you're not being Christ.
And I know for me, that took many years for me to get beyond that. Mm. So that would be my ask is, what does it mean to be Christ-like, not church-like?
Hey, church. I'm so glad you've joined us this morning. I often find myself wishing we could get back to normal as soon as possible. But as time goes on, I'm convinced that the normal I find myself missing isn't what I want back. That normal was predictable. It was comfortable, even the bad parts. And it was boring, maybe even lukewarm. Some things we have encountered lately have really challenged me and sparked a new passion for how I want my life to look moving forward, and more importantly, how I want to learn the lessons and do the things that God is asking of me. We started a new series today called Change or Die. As we walk through the Exodus story, we'll be challenged not to fall victim to wanting to go back to Egypt, wanting to get back to normal. Instead, we look forward to normal and keep our eyes and hearts fixed on where God is leading us. This week on lscc.tv and Facebook, we will share the articles and videos that were talked about earlier. Take the time to read and watch those. The series Change or Die focuses on the story of the Israelites in the book of Exodus. So read Exodus before we meet again next Sunday. Pay attention to the changes as that story unfolds. Notice what God is doing and what he has in store and how the Israelites respond and feel. Spend time in prayer, preparing yourself for the weeks to come, and open yourself to what God will be speaking into your life and how he will confront you with the opportunities to change. He will, because just like we sang earlier, as long as you're not dead, he's not done. This week, remember to love God, love others, and be the church.
Thanks again for joining us. And don't forget to stay up to date with the latest information at lscc.tv. We'll see you next week.